and a warm welcome to Celebrating Success. Thank you for joining me. I'm Pauline Barclay, author of 9 published books. My passion is to write about events that happen in life and change everything for those involved, as well as those caught up in the maelstrom. I want my characters to sit at your side, steal your attention, and sweep you up in their story. Stories that will bring tears to your eyes, have you laughing out loud, and sometimes what they share with you will stay in your heart for a very long time. When I'm not writing, I'm talking to amazing and fabby peeps. Today I'm talking to award-winning author Ruth Enright, whose historical novels are gripping stories full of suspense and atmosphere that will transport you into another world. So please make yourself comfy and enjoy meeting my lovely guest, Ruth. Hi, Ruth. Lovely to meet you and to see you. I know we chat a lot over the WhatsApp and the emails, but today you're here to talk about your award-winning book and your new book, Sea Haven.
Thank you, Pauline. It's wonderful to be here. Yes, actually, Sea Haven was my first book, and Bus and Box, my award-winning book, is my second book.
Tell us a little, because they're both completely different books, aren't they, Ruth?
They are.
Tell me, so, you tell me about your first book, Sea Haven, please.
Yes. So Sea Haven is a historical adventure novel, and it's set in 1700s England, and it's set on the wild east coast of Yorkshire. So the inspiration for it really is my love of the Whitby area, which I've holidayed in many times from childhood onwards. And it's a tale of a young boy and a young girl and the lives that they lead there. And they get caught up in exciting times when a shipwreck happens on the coast. And Robin is the young boy and his uncle runs the inn and he's the head of a smuggling ring. But in the course of trying to bring in the contraband, the two children discover an escaped slave called Solomon, another young boy like themselves, and the adventures begin as they try and help him to continue to get away and reach freedom. And in the same way, they're trying to escape the confines of their own lives because of the circles they're in. Sophie is from a more moneyed background, and Robin is quite poor, really, and is kept as a kind of day servant, in a way, by his uncle. And there are lots of complications in family life and adventures all around that.
So it's quite an adventurous story. And yes. These two youngsters are caught up in all these different adventures.
That's right, they are. And there are lots of adult characters in it as well. So it's a book for children, young readers, and also adults enjoy it very much as well.
Which brings us nicely on to Button Box, because I know you have this call, you say it's again for children and young adults, but I've read the book. It's for everybody, Ruth. It's a brilliant book with lots of adventures. Again, like Sea Haven, it's got lots of adventures. But tell us a little bit of the period in which the Button Box is set.
Yes, Button Box is quite different. That's set in Victorian London in the 1850s, where main action takes place. But it's a time shift book because the young heroine, Susan, lives in the modern day. And she's in a situation where she's dislocated from her old family life because her father, who's a widower, is getting married again. And she's going to have a whole new family that she's drawn into with other children present. There are 3 other girls there. So she has a lot to get used to. And while she's trying to adjust to this and they're trying to adjust to her, and everyone feels that sense of shift and not knowing quite where they are, she turns to the comfort of playing with her old button box, which was her mother's and her grandmother's, and is full of all sorts of buttons that have been cut off clothes and coats all down the years. And she plays with that and does a drawing on which she sticks some pearl buttons onto a jacket drawing of a boy. And then when she falls asleep, that boy comes to life. And he is Baxter, and he is a Victorian orphan, and he's trying to become one of the pearly costers to have somewhere to belong where he'll be protected. And in that life, Susan has been taken in by him as well. They're both orphans, and they were orphaned in the same catastrophe of disease. But she is not his sister, but lives with him as if she is his sister, and that's how they present themselves. And they get caught up in all sorts of adventures in the Victorian world because they live on the margins, as very poor children do. They have to work, just the same as adults. But they're also drawn into all sorts of criminal activities and have all sorts of adventures with very colourful characters. They meet mad scientists. They meet swindlers and cheats, pawnbrokers, dangerous characters and good characters as well. And a thread running throughout is that Baxter is a child rat catcher. And he's about catching fancy rats, which is a fad in Victorian times for rich, fashionable ladies to have. And so they're looking for white rats. And so a theme running through are the white rats that they catch and take to sell to a new family. And that leads them into another set of adventures with a rich family. But everything circles round together because it's a time shift and almost a dream world. Things meld one into another, and there's a shifting landscape that Susan and Baxter live in, which is also completely real. They have to find their way through.
And the one thing also about your writing, Ruth, is whilst this is a wonderful adventure, you also describe the smells, the state of the streets, the state of accommodation, and the way people live, particularly the very poor people, how the markets were run. And it's so very vivid in your writing.
Thank you. I'm often told that my writing's very visual, and I believe it is, because I see it in my mind's eye. I see it all happening, and I try and convey it as if you're there without too much description. And in fact, one of my readers said, I could see it all so vividly and felt as if I was walking around with those characters. And the same with Sea Haven. And she said, I looked back and there were not pages and pages of description giving me that atmosphere and that sense of place. It was just there as if I was looking at it. So I felt I have achieved something there. And it's almost, often I've been told it's like reading it. It's like watching a film. So I kind of capture a bit of a multimedia experience, I think, for the reader, for the modern reader. So it's not, although I use historic language and I really took pleasure in looking up the vernacular vocabulary of the time and finding all sorts of funny and crazy, wacky words to use, which is almost a bit Dickensian because there's that love of the eccentric language. For example, a chimney sweep is a floofaker, things like that. And a giggle mug means a smiling face. And that is lovely because you know what a giggle mug is without having to look it up, don't you?
So you do,
I really
indeed,
enjoyed that. And I put a little glossary at the end. So I had great fun with making it very real in that way as well. So it's set, it doesn't have a fantasy element in that it's magical, although there is a sense that Susan isn't sure whether the things she sees in this world translate into that world or whether she is bringing things from that world into this world. And she finds as the adventures go on that she has to do things in the modern world to try and rescue things that are happening in the other world. But it's guesswork as to whether it will work or not. So, for example, they have an adventure where they actually meet Queen Victoria and are presented with the net purse of coins. And the next time Susan looks in the button box, there's a little plastic net purse of chocolate coins in there. And she's almost sure it wasn't there before, but not quite. So that's one of the ways in which I try and give that sense of that childhood magic that you get in the kind of books. I think I'm trying to write the kind of books that I love to read, as a, you know, as a, that were a classic thing. So things like E. Nesbitt with Five Children and It and things like that. Those kind of books. It's another The Box of Delights is another one by John Masefield, where you get that transition from reality into another life, where the animals come to life as a dream within a dream for Susan. So you haven't got talking animals in the sense that they're walking along beside them. But there's that whole almost Alice in Wonderland element there as well.
There is actually, there is, Ruth, you say that, but at the same time, the reader isn't in a fantasy world. They're actually there in those Victorian streets as well. And yet when Susan goes home to her, she wakes up and she's in her modern bed in her lovely modern central heated house. That's as real as well. So whilst I hear what you say, for me, it was still very real. When I was in those streets of and the fears. And so there's also quite a lot of amusement in the story as well. But you could feel it all, whether it be modern or whether it be the Victorian streets. And you really do take the reader straight to those areas. And yes, of course, we don't live between two worlds, but you've actually managed to capture that as if it really could happen and be realistic.
We do in our imaginations, which is why it has to work as a book. It has to really capture that imagination, doesn't it?
And that's why we're writers.
And as a child, you're always, when you're a child or a young person or an adult, you're always looking for that extra something in life, aren't you? There's, you know, something beyond the day to day.
Well, I think we're still looking, aren't we?
We're still looking. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, as adults too, we're all still looking for that extra dimension to life. And that's where, you know, we have that great power as human beings, isn't it?
And I think it's wonderful to have that imagination, though. And not everybody can write those kind of books, Ruth, but when they can write them like you have, and we know Button Box is an award-winning book, it helps the reader just to completely escape. And it really is a true escape book.
Yes, it is. And Sea Haven too. And I think as well, what I try to create are touching relationships between the characters. So whereas you have dangerous times, dangerous occasions, they make friends, they make enemies, and the same in Sea Haven. The central relationships are touching because they're between children who are on the cusp of young adulthood, but they're not there yet. And they're very much reliant on one another for everything to do with their emotional comfort and physical comfort and what they plan to do together. And it's sort of building that rapport between them that takes them through.
And it certainly does through Baxter, because Baxter, although he's a young boy, he still thinks he's a man. I've got to look after you. Don't you worry. I'm going to look after you, Susie. Don't you worry. You know, and he's got that wonderful caring about him as well.
Yeah.
Now, that's The Button Box and, of course, Sea Haven. And I do know you've got a new book coming out later this year. Do you want to tell us a little, just a little bit about it? Because I know I'm going to invite you back to talk a lot about it.
Thank you. Well, the new book, which I'm working on finishing the draft at the moment, it's different again, although it's still, it is a historic book and it's set within a particular period. Again, it's a Victorian period, which is, I have to say, a favourite period of mine. And this one is an adult's book. It's not an adventure, it's a historic novel. And it's called, at the moment, its working title is The Clarionettists in Calderdale. And now it's not about people who play the clarinet, as you might think at first glance. It's the inspiration of it is from my hometown in Halifax. I come from Halifax in West Yorkshire. And we lived within a walking distance of a beautiful promenade, a Victorian promenade called Albert Promenade, which is a lovely view across the Calder Valley. And there's a rocky escarpment leading down to some woods. And on the top of this plateau was carved an inscription, 1886, and it read J.H. Henderson and C.J. Rayner, 1886. And I've looked at that from being a little girl onwards and always thought, I wondered who they were and what they might have been, because it was beautifully chiselled. So it's kind of evolved into this book, because that was the period when the clarion clubs were becoming established across the Northwest, founded in Bradford by a man who started the Clarion newspaper with loosely socialist principles. And it was about getting working people and people from all walks of society together, men and women, to go out cycling in the fresh air and get away from the industrial smog and spread the word of improving life for people. And it was an idealistic movement. And it wasn't tied to the Labour movement or the Liberal movement or any of the old, it was more a grassroots kind of modernising move. And that was the same year that I discovered when I was reading up, the Clarion Club was founded in Halifax. And I thought, what if this was a group of people who had just got together, they had got together in the Clarion Club, and among them were stonemasons who had chiselled out their initials and the date of this first meeting. And that's kind of led me off onto all my characters. It started as a short story, which I posted on my blog originally. And I find this, Button Box started as a short story as well. But your characters are there. And if it's still alive in your mind, you kind of go back to them and think, I haven't finished with you. There's a whole life and things that are going to develop out of this. So I felt it was the start of something quite modern while still being tied into the mores of those days, an opportunity where men and women could meet in a way they didn't before, although still quite respectable and so on. You're out in the fresh air, it's all very, but from different walks of life. And that would mean people rubbed together who hadn't met before, and some might have very fixed ideals, some might have different views, and I'm exploring it, what freedom might be, not just social freedom, but emotional freedom, and in a way sexual freedom as well, because that comes into play in a different way between them. I also bring in a sort of new artistic movements that coming at the time.
So, and do you know, Ruth, you're telling us everything. How are we going to come back and tell us more?
Well, no, that's just the start of it. That's just the start of it. So, that's where it moves on.
So listeners, Ruth's going to come back and tell us a lot more about this book, because it sounds fascinating. And when you consider this new book of Ruth's has been inspired by an inscription on a bridge. So we are looking forward to you coming back late in the year, Ruth, to talk about this new book, to tell us when it's available. So in the meantime, to make sure people know how to get hold of Button Box and Sea Haven, tell me, are they available in Kindle and paperback?
They're available in both Kindle and paperback, yes. And they can be purchased from Amazon and other outlets. But Amazon is the main one that to get them through.
Lovely. And you have your own website. And what is the address of your website, Ruth?
It's really quite simple to find, because it's mainly my name. So it's lowercase r-enright58.co.uk.
Lovely, Ruth. Just repeat that again for the listener, please. Or listeners, not listener.
r-enright58.co.uk.
Lovely. So that's where listeners need to go to find out more about you, about the two books that are already published, and to find out when the new book's coming out. But of course, yeah, you're going to come back later this year and tell us all about the new book and how things are going on the two books that are already out there.
Thank you very much, Paulie.
Well, I look forward to it. Ruth,
on
I'm
my website,
say,
there are also lots of poems and short stories on the website as well.
Lovely. So, you know, you've got lots to go and look at if you go and look at Ruth's website today. Ruth, as always, a million thanks for coming along today. I'm really looking forward to meeting you again later in the year. For now, can I just say bye and catch up very soon?
Bye, Pauline. Thank you very much. And I'll look forward to catching up with you.
Thank you, Ruth. It was a great pleasure to have you here today. And I hope you enjoyed meeting Ruth as much as I did. Ruth's books are on Amazon in paperback and Kindle, and you can find out more about her on her website, r-enright58.co.uk. Enright is E-N-R-I-G-H-T. As always, a huge thank you for joining me, and I can't wait to share your company again very soon. You can listen to all my podcasts at paulinebarclay.podbean.com, and you are more than welcome to share them all of them, and there's a lot there nowadays, with all your friends and family. I do hope you will. And don't forget, you can find out more about me on my website, paulinebarclay.com. www.sunnyshinesunshine.co.uk. I hope the sun is shining on your face and in your heart. Until next time, ta-ta for now.